Hi, I'm Brad from Flamingo Pier.
Hi, it's Luke here, and we're here with Hunter talking about our new EP, Beneath the Neon.
To start, I wanted to ask you what it's like looking back on your debut record, which came out back in 2021. What's changed for you as a group since then, and what are some of the differences in the way your new EP came together in comparison?
Well, so with the full length, we weren't all in New Zealand when most of the songs were started. Some of them were started, Dom and I, in London, and then some of them were from a couple of years before that. So it was kind of like a bit more piecemeal, and we weren't all together from the beginning of the process to the end, which, you know, worked out fine. But since then, Dom's moved back to New Zealand. Brad and I were in New Zealand. And so from this new EP is basically us being together in the studio from the start to the finish for the tracks. So that's really nice because, yeah, I think it means we're a lot faster and it's a lot more of a representation of us as a group. Dom actually came back when we were at the final stages of the recording of the album. But obviously most of the process had happened already. But then we didn't have a space for a while. And so we spent quite a bit of time building the studio in my basement. Dom's a builder and Brad's pretty handy as well. So yeah, we spent quite a, like probably 8 months, like kind of getting set up. We got some new equipment, like some nice recording gear. And so we probably started the process about a year and a half ago, I would say. And then as is always the case, it takes quite a while to get the record out. So yeah, I think it was finished probably 6 months ago.
To add to that, I would probably say that like it's definitely this record felt like a big gap from the last one because of COVID and everything like that. So like, so a long time between drinks for sure. But this record, we definitely did the whole thing pretty much in our sort of own space. So like you're saying, it's really nice to work fast doing that. Also, the first record that we're releasing with Razor and Tape, so we kind of found that out near the end of the process, which definitely influenced it because the one before was through Soundway, so you sort of tend to like skew it one way or the other. Soundway definitely like goes a bit more into the sort of like Afrobeat kind of vibes, whereas once we knew it was the Razor and Tape thing, it was like, let's make a house record, you know, like really like push that sort of vibe a lot more. And that definitely ended up happening with the remixes that were on the record as well, which really like rounded the whole package out.
Can you talk me through some of the equipment you've got in for the new studio space?
So we got a UAD 410D, which is like a four-channel preamp and 1176 compressor unit. And so it's an analog chain, basically. So all of the vocals and trumpets and anything that was recorded through a microphone was going through that. And so you've instantly got analog saturation going into the, you know, recording process from the beginning, which makes a big difference. It just gives you instant presence and saturation, dirt. It just sounds a lot better. So that's kind of the hub where we record everything through. And we've also got a Universal Audio Apollo 6, which is, a sound card, basically. A very, very high-end sound card. So we've got a lot more channels to record through, and there are better channel chains of effects, basically.
Yeah, having that set up with like all the synths plugged in, ready to go, like Luke's running a Moog Sub 37.
Yeah.
That was like a big part of like most of the sort of bass sounds and lead sounds. But having that, like the Nord plugged in and the Mofo and like all just ready to go, meant that we could work a lot faster than we often did in the past, where it was like, a little focus right and you're like, all right, let's unplug and go on to the next thing. Like just having everything like set and ready to go is just a much better process.
was it that you got looped in with Razor and Tape?
Obviously, we also run the festival on Waiheke, and we had J. Criv booked in for this year. He was coming for the February edition, and actually stayed at my house for a week. Unfortunately, we had to move the date because of the flooding to March, so he wasn't able to play the festival. We ended up playing a party at East Street Hall, which was really fun, with some of the other DJs and J. Criv. We just got to know each other through him staying at my place, and around the same time our kind of relationship with Soundway was ending, so it was kind of a perfect little, yeah, it just happened really naturally, and yeah. Like, I'm kind of more from a house background, and so I started the idea by myself, just trying to make something that I could play. So I was essentially going, okay, we need something that's powerful and club ready and that's going to make an impact on the dance floor. So I sort of just got the bass line and chords going together, and I'd been doing some piano lessons with Jonathan Crayford at the time, so I was experimenting with some jazzier chords and things like that. And so I got this little chord progression going, and then got the Moog going for the bass, which is always like an instant, powerful bass. And then did a little bit of drums, and it basically just made a basic 8-bar loop, which I then stopped and then brought the rest of the guys in. And then Brad played some really great guitar on it, and Dom recorded some vocals. And then the B section was really Brad.
Oh yeah, it was probably, I think I did a bass line for it, did I?
Yeah. So like, I remember we were in the studio and you were like, okay, we need a B section, and you started working on some chords on the guitar.
Yeah, right.
And then once you had the chords, you started with the bass line to support your new chord. Yeah, and then we had guitars in the B section originally, and then we took them out. So you just kind of like used the bass line only. And then Jack Thirdle, who's been playing trumpet with us, he came in and laid it down a really nice trumpet solo over that, the top of that, which really kind of made it work.
Jack's become like a really integral part of the band. Even this last tour we just did, he was like in the room with us writing songs from the get-go. So it's often like come from like, we'll finish a song and leave a section and be like, okay, we could have some sort of solo here. But because Jack's been playing with us live, it's kind of like, just use Jack, you know, like, let's just get it in there because it's such a great vibe and he's such an awesome dude to work with. But I think like generally with this track and a lot of the others as well, like we, like Luke said, wanted to make tracks that we could DJ live, because that was, I think we were doing a lot more DJ sets maybe through that period. From the end of the album to this time, obviously there was that weird little moment when like New Zealand had its little bubble, so there's all those festivals that happen. So we were sort of able to road test a lot of these tracks in sort of festival DJ sets. So a lot of the time, like, we're making music so that we've got something to play. Yeah, I mean, this might have been the first one we did, I think. Honestly, this is one of those ones where I can't remember if it was the bass line was written first or if it was a completely different song, which was then torn apart, because this is something that we do a lot. We'll like write one song and then we get to the next section and we're like, oh, that's the song. Like this whole thing we're doing before, like, yeah, that's okay, but like this section here that we've got to, like, this is actually where the song starts now. So then I think it might have been something like that on this track. I can't remember if it was.
Yeah, it definitely started out as a bit more sort of poppy.
Yeah.
And then we were like, we want to make it far more energetic and more percussive and more up. And so we kind of like, we're like, let's just make it really, really energetic and not like, not super melodic, but just super up and it worked out well in the end.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, from my point of view, it was definitely like once that bass line fell into place, like it kind of rolled around really nicely on that. And then Dom always has this like really fantastic way of just being able to like throw out a really catchy vocal hook, just like we'll just let him riff on it for a bit. And that's like a massive part of like the sort of getting the energy up on this track as well, I think.
We'll be right back.
Well, the title came from just one of Dom's little vocal hooks, I think. It might have ended up, I think we changed it from Beneath the Neon Sign to Sun, because I was like, well, we've got this big neon sun in the studio that our friend made for us. So it was kind of like, yep, that'll do. It felt a little, and it's like kind of a little a nod to Waiheke as well, I guess. The big big neon there as well. But can you remember how this one started?
I think we just started with some chords, and yeah, I think we just worked it out together and put in those sort of ELO-ish strings in the
in the
chorus, and yeah, and then the final bit was actually the intro. The intro was the last thing we did, because it was sort of like it just dropped and started, and it needed something to get going. So we had this sort of 30-second cosmic-y, and then the breakdown at the end, the B section. That's my favourite part of it. Like that's when we're playing it live. I like that grooves along really nicely.
Yep.
Yeah, I really like that bit.
Thank you.
Glen Underground's obviously American house producer, been going since the 90s, amazing music he produces. And Razor and Tape have played shows with him, basically, they're friends. And we were sort of like, we'd really like an American house remix. We've been playing a lot of soulful American house, all sorts of different styles of American house, and we really love Glen Underground. Like, Coloration is a track of his we play a lot, and like his remixes of Pevin Everett, and yeah, we really love what he does. So yeah, it was perfect. They went away, basically, the label, and were like, we just said we want a really good American house remix, and they came back with Glen, and it was like perfect because he's basically one of our favorites.
had the connection with Steve through Soundway, and I'm pretty sure once we knew that they had the in there, Dom was like, oh, we should try and get Steve to sing on Remedy.
Yeah, Dom wanted Steve to sing Remedy, the whole song. Track.
Yeah.
And then we sent this track to Steve, and then the other guys had already gone back to New Zealand, but I was still in London, and so I rented a studio, and he said, oh, I've written something for Remedy, and I was like, oh, okay, we're kind of hoping that you just sing the lyric that we've already done. But so we went into the studio and I just let him record what he'd already written, and it kind of wasn't enough to be a lead vocal, so we ended up having sort of one completed vocal from Dom, and then Steve doing his little ad-libs and his kind of interesting bits and pieces on top, and we couldn't really figure out how to finish it with both of them together.
I think for a while it was like, should this just be the version? And then we're like, oh, we kind of like our version still, so it sort of ended up being like, let's make it a remix, right?
Yeah, so Jay Kriv, one of the co-founders of Razor and Tape, he's really good at doing disco dub sort of remixes, right? And stripping things back, and he's done work with Soundway before on some of their African catalog, so he kind of knows his way around that kind of material. And once we signed the record with him, I was like, let's get Jay Kriv to sort of take a fresh air to this and kind of create something with Dom's and Brad's vocal plus Steve's vocal and sort of stretch it out a bit, give it a bit more space to breathe. And yeah, what he came back with was perfect, really. It's like what we kind of wanted to do but couldn't quite do on our own.
Yeah, it could have been a very different song. It was sort of like, there was almost a point where like, oh, maybe it's just like not going to happen. And I'm so glad that it did, because it's like such a great little sort of feature artist to have on there. Luke and I actually went out for lunch with him, with Steve, in London when we were there, and he was like, oh, I love the track, who are the girls that are singing the chorus? And I was like, oh, thanks, Steve, that's me. And Dom. But he's like, oh, it was so funny. But yeah, it was a great, great little collab to have on that one.
I do love you. you need is love.
It's Brad from Flamingo Pier.
Hello, it's Luke from Flamingo Pier, and you're listening to Totally Wired.